Hello, hi, and welcome to this bonus series on happiness. It is me collaborating with Ellen Wong, and we're talking about the 9 pillars of the happiness framework. This is episode 4, P is for productivity. And Ellen, you've said when it comes to productivity in your happiness framework, this is about using your valuable time towards what really matters to you. And I think this also pairs really nicely with purpose, because once you find a way to use your strengths in a way that really activates you and serves others, you've got to find the time to do that. How is happiness productivity different than hustle culture productivity? Because I think, you know, you could easily do a quick search on productivity on YouTube or on Instagram, and you could find a lot of people creating a lot of rules and rigidity, all in the name of productivity as like the false god, I guess, that we're all kind of a slave to in many ways. So how is this different?
This idea of productivity came from my trip to Bhutan, which we talked about way back in the earlier episodes. One of the things that they have in their Gross National Happiness Index as one of the measures of happiness is how in control do you feel about your use of time?
Wow.
And what they found was that even in the happiest group of people and the least happy group of people, within each of those groups, there is a difference in happiness levels simply based on how much they feel in control of their use of time.
Wow. Okay, I want everyone listening to just think about that question. How in control do you feel about the use of your own time? Yeah, this is a big one. This is something that comes up on Medium Lady every now and then, because I have for years set up a monthly, what I called a monthly assignment or a monthly experiment. And it was sort of a pre-plan of how I was going to spend my free time. So that when I had a sliver of free time, you know, when the baby went down for a nap or when the kids were at their baseball, whatever, and I had that sliver to myself, I wanted to know in advance what I wanted to do with that because I did not want to default to cleaning because I hate cleaning. So fun fact. And so a lot of people said to me, I never know what to do with my free time. And it seems silly to even pursue free time, because what would I do with it if I even had any? And so some people pursue productivity to optimize time, but optimizing time is where they stop. Because once you optimize time, you get more time, you could just continue to optimize the time that you're optimizing. And then it becomes the snake that eats its own tail. Whereas the real point of productivity is to optimize time so that you access freedom. If you're optimizing time and you only stop once you've achieved the time optimization, but you never access freedom, then you're missing, I think, what I think is a really valuable equation in the productivity formula. So can you tell us a little bit more about this? And have you experimented with this in your own life? Like, productivity enhances happiness.
I feel like I should just sit back and let you speak, because the way you just summarized that was amazing. No, it was so good. And okay, so I'm laughing because we keep saying how we need to keep these episodes brief and concise. And I'm like, wait, I have a story to tell you.
We're doing our best.
I have a story. So in Bhutan, when you travel there, you get assigned a tour guide. They don't really have public transport. They don't really like have subways or like Ubers. Like, that's not a thing. You basically go there and you get a tour guide and they accompany you. And we have this little, you get this itinerary. And on the bottom of the itinerary, it basically said, you know, a lot of people in Bhutan see their job as one part of their life. And so, you know, at any point in time, if they need to take care of something, you will have another tour guide substitute. And like, we'll make sure we take care of you, but like, just don't be surprised if your guide goes somewhere. And I remember reading this and I was like, this is very bizarre. Like, I don't really know what the context is, but I was like, oh, okay. Like, sure. If they are sick or like whatever, totally. Of course you're going to give me somebody else to take care of me. That's fine. When I get there, what I realize is that because they know if you feel in control of your use of time, it makes you happier. They built this into their work system. So what the tour guide left in the middle of one of the days, not because he was sick, not because there was an emergency, but simply because he wanted to go home early to help his daughter get ready for her birthday party. That was it. Yeah.
Stop.
That was it. And it is then built into the culture
Oh my gosh.
Of the workplaces there that. And so yes, company, but also these are tour guides that are trained and like the tour companies are organized by the government. So it's government-induced policy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, company culture. Realize. And then there's no like you're taking a vacation day. Like what it just actually is, you needed to go and do this thing that was really important to you. So someone else stepped in for you. That was it. There's no, I had to use a half a vacation day. I had to apply. They're like, does this count as a personal day? Is it a vacation day? Is it a sick day? There's like none of this. It's just, this is important to me. So I'm going to go do this.
It's like submit right. your PTO.
Your manager has to sign off. And like, there is none of this.
Wow. It was,
I'm sure there's back-end organizational things that needs to make this happen. I get it. But it was very much there was no like, don't tell anybody it's taking a sick day, but I'm actually going to mm-hmm. go do this. Like, it wasn't like that. That's what he needed to do. And so
moms everywhere feel that. Yes. Moms everywhere feel that like whisper, the like sneaky, the like, can you cover for me on the blah, blah, blah so that I can help so-and-so do something. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thing. Wow.
They just all step in for each other simply because that's the culture that they live in. Yeah, I bring this up because it made me very much think how things are very different in Canada where we mm-hmm. live. But it is a government policy. This is how they live out that it's more important that people feel happy than it is for whatever. Like they could make more money if they did it differently.
Yeah.
They have buildings that are being built and there's no rush on the deadline because so for example, Bhutan is in the Himalayan mountains. You are literally driving on mountain roads. There are no mm-hmm. railings. They just can't put that many railings around that many mountains, I don't think. And so when the first snowfall lands and there's snow on the ground, the entire city shuts down for the day because of the safety of the people who are there. So it doesn't matter that you have a contract that the building needs to be built on a certain day. That day is now delayed because it doesn't matter. No mm-hmm. one's climbing up the building when it's wet and slippery and no one's driving to work on the slippery roads of the side of the mountain. Like they're just very like, no, it's more important that you guys are safe and you're happy. What do people do? Because we landed there and there mm-hmm. was snowfall. What do people do when there's a snowfall? Adults having snowball fights on the street.
Wow.
Which just, it is a snapshot and it is a moment and I'm sure there's exceptions, but what it allowed me to see was that there are definitely mm-hmm. no snowball fights here with adults on the street on a snow day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's life sure. there is That's very different. Sure. Are they not productive? I don't think so. I think they're very productive. I think they've just chosen to define what is valuable to them. And they've taken steps towards that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we want to help people who are listening in North America and they're saying, well, that's all well and good, but I don't work for the government-run tourist agency in a country that measures and values how in control I feel of my own time, in a lot of ways, productivity in North America can be punitive. Mm-hmm. We might say to the parent who wanted to leave work early to help their child with a birthday party, well, you didn't get your work done on time. You weren't productive enough. So you can't have mm-hmm. that time to yourself because your measure of productivity is not up to our mm-hmm. standards. We tell you what's productive. Mm-hmm. You don't tell us what's productive. And I think a lot of times people lean into productivity as a way of self-care. It's like, if I could just be in control of as many variables in my life as possible and be productive and be in control of the efficiency of my own life, then I would feel cared for, then I would feel rested, then I would feel well. But in reality, that's a milestone that's like the bar keeps moving and moving and moving. So how do you help people here in North America who say, I do feel like my productivity is hindering my happiness, or I do feel like I'll say a little more positively, if I could work on my productivity, I would feel that tool useful in my foundation of happiness. How do we give people the framework to think about that here?
I would say slow down. And I think that sounds very ridiculous sometimes, but I'm like, just slow down and make a decision about of all the things that are on your to-do list, what actually needs to stay on that list. And I may apply the same framework in the authenticity episode is if no one else saw this, would I still do it?
Yeah.
Also, if something is on your to-do list for the last 5 years, just cross it off. Just cross it off. Or like, just, it's not important. It's not important. You haven't done it in 5 years. It's not important. And it's probably making you feel bad that it's still on your to-do list.
And I have a caveat to that, which is if you don't want to cross it off, if it's painful, start today.
Yeah.
So for me, for example, that would have been start a podcast. I probably had start a podcast on my to-do list for, you know, at least 8 years. If you had made me cross it off, I would have said, I cannot. Then I would have said, you got to start. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to start today. If you're not going to cross it off, you got to start today.
And then my caveat to your caveat would be the podcast matters to you. You put time towards it.
Yeah.
What's on that list that doesn't? Then cross that off.
Right. Yeah, that's a good filter. That's a good filter. I mean, productivity can be sneaky, but I can definitely see where your ability to put your time towards what matters to you is a tremendous piece of the puzzle when it comes to happiness. So that was P is for productivity. That was episode 4. We're going to move on to episode 5. We're going to talk about I and inner peace. So Ellen, thanks for chatting with me. And everyone, stay tuned for the next episode. I want to encourage you to download Ellen's happiness guide, which will be linked in the show notes, to follow me at medium.lady and to follow Ellen at Dr. Ellen Wong to benefit from the 21 Days of Happiness Challenge on Instagram. Thanks so much, everyone. Thanks, Ellen. And we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.